Good evening. The time that we have, I would like to talk about an important subject matter that basically has, what's the word I'm looking for, has been a problem between God and man, as well as man and man. Have you ever been at odds with someone? Have you ever had an argument with someone? We all have. There's always been conflict between God and man, and of course, man and man. And that's what we'll look at this evening. As we know and are aware of, sin alienates us and separates us from God. One thing we need to learn in this life is we need to cease being God's enemy and develop peace in our lives. Not just peace with God, but strive to have peace with everyone that we can have peace with. God developed a plan in regard to this matter. The gospel plan to achieve this word that we call reconciliation. Sometimes people become alienated from other people based on an opinion, a subject matter such as politics, financial discussions, or just basic work-related topics, or just a flat-out disagreement over nothing. They become enemies, and they'd rather not talk. They just rather be at odds. In other words, when you ask them, oh, what happens to such and such? Oh, I don't talk to him anymore because he refuses to do whatever, or so on and so forth. This is not what God wants. We need to be reconciled with each other. We no longer need to be enemies, but we need to rebuild our relationship. So the rest of our time during the study, we want to focus on two things. How we can restore our relationship with God, and how we can restore our relationship and our love for one another. First of all, we know that man needs to be reconciled with God. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, Paul writes, "Be ye reconciled to God." Remember, to reconcile means to exchange hostility for a friendly, quote-unquote, relationship. Colossians 1:21 tells us that sin, as we know, alienates us from God. We need to remember, when we violate God's law and sin, we separate ourselves from Him. So, what must we do to be reconciled unto God? First, we must take the step as the offended person. God had a desire to bring man back unto Him. So what did He do? He sent His only Son to die on the cross and shed His blood for our sins, that we may have the plan of salvation to bring man back unto God. So, we must have that same desire. When we sin and we fall short, our guilt and our conscience tells us that we need to have that desire to return. Just like the prodigal son did when he He had a desire. When he realized that he could live no longer the way he was living, he wanted to have that desire to come back to his Father, even if he had to live as a servant. We have to have a desire to return to God and be reconciled to him. In Romans 5, verse 6 through 11, though we cause the alienation, God knows our sin that leads to death. Remember one thing, eternal alienation separates us from God and will put us in torment. Romans 6:23 and Romans 5 and verse 8 tells us that he loved us and wants us to be reconciled so much that he sacrificed his son, for even while we were still sinners, as we said, Christ died for us. By Christ dying on the cross, a plan was developed. Even from eternity, God proposed a means to achieve a reunion. Since our sin caused us alienation, God provided a plan for forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18, that's Ephesians chapter 2, this plan required Jesus to die as a sacrifice. He suffered punishment so those who were alienated could have peace and access to God and the Father. In other words, reconciliation. God wanted peace, but our conduct caused the alienation. So we see that God's plan requires people to choose to be reconciled and meet the conditions of that. One thing that plays an important part of our lives, especially in this situation, is communication. In order for us to know what conditions we must meet, God had to communicate with us. And he does communicate with us. He has given us his word. He has given us the gospel in which this plan can be found. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, God communicated to man by the gospel, the word of reconciliation. The apostles were ambassadors on behalf of Christ, entering all men to respond to this message. And just like the apostles, we are his ambassadors today. Communication is very vital to reconciliation. We need to remember, peace is impossible without it. When the offender meets the conditions, we know that we are forgiven. They are forgiven. And Ephesians 1 and verse 7 tells us, in him we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He communicated this plan, as we mentioned, in the gospel, so that we obey. When we obey, we are forgiven. This removes the cause of alienation. This removes the separation between God and man. So God and man are reconciled, and the relationship between us and him is restored. But the steps have to be taken by the offender. There are conditions that we have to meet to be reconciled. So like I said, what are those steps? Number one, as we mentioned earlier, communication. Communication plays that vital key. In John 6, 44 and 45, to come to the Father, We must what? Hear and learn from Him. God speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through the gospel. But we must be willing to learn the message that is being taught. Reconciliation requires communication on both sides, not just one side, but both sides, because God desires reconciliation. He revealed His plan for reconciliation, but we must be willing to learn and follow that plan. We must believe by accepting the gospel, including recognizing our guilt. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 tells us, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain His mercy. We must believe that God exists and that our sins have alienated us from Him. We must also recognize our guilt and accept the gospel as the only means to be reconciled. As long as we refuse to admit our guilt and accept the gospel, reconciliation is impossible. We must meet the requirements. We must recognize our guilt. And most importantly, we must repent of our sins. When we are sorry for what we have done, we know that we will be forgiven. But we must be determined to turn away from our sin. We must be determined to recognize our sin no more and turn back to God. We must decide. Remember, God does not force us, but He does provide a means that we must choose to meet these conditions. This decision is called repentance, as we said. Even if we know the gospel, we are not reconciled to God unless we decide to turn from our wrong ways and make Him our choice. God seeks forgiveness. In Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. We know from the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Remember what Acts 22 tells us in verse 16, arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. A child of God whose sins must repent and pray for forgiveness. God has provided this means for sinners to be forgiven through the blood of Jesus. This was His plan. As we said, He communicated His plan in the gospel. We must listen to God's plan. We must believe it. And we have to do what we can to change our lives, but we have to be determined to change our lives. The next part of our lesson, we talked about how the importance of is that we reconcile our lives with God and restore our relationship with Him. Now, for the rest of the time that we have, we need to talk about the importance of us doing our striving, our best, to be reconciled, not just with God, but with one another. Just as sin alienates us from God, so sin may alienate us from each other. We know this. We see this all the time. Not all problems between people involve sin, but for far more do than most people will admit it. When sin is involved, both parties, both Christians, are guilty. God has a defined plan for reconciliation. Just like with Him, He has developed a plan within the gospel for man to reconcile their relationship with one another. The first step in this, as we talked about earlier, is the offended person. Let us consider someone who believes another Christian has sinned against him. Well, what must he do? Well, he must have a desire to be reconciled. But wait, this person has sinned against me, but I am supposed to start the process of reconciliation, although this guy is at fault? Well, let's see what the Bible says about this. If you believe the other person did wrong, why must you want the problem to be resolved? Sometimes people do not want the issue to be resolved. Sometimes they believe that I'm just going to wait for him to apologize. I'm not going to be the one apologizing. Does that make us as guilty as they are? God wants peace between His people and not strife and contention. He wants us to be at peace. Let's look at this plan that God has set up for us to help us. Romans 14 and 19 tells us, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 13 tells us, I'm sorry, that's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13. But be at peace amongst yourselves. Sometimes people will hold a grudge. We have to make sure that we are not the ones who are holding the grudge. We must be the ones who consistently pray that this grudge that that person is holding will be released from them, and that they will be at peace with themselves. God does not want this among His children. When strife occurs and continues with no effort to correct it, someone is in sin. This is why we need to pray. God requires Christians to love one another just as He has loved us. Let me rephrase that. God requires Christians to love one another just as He has loved us. 1 John 4:11 and 3:16 tells us we must love. We must love as He has loved us. His love led Him to seek reconciliation. Some members think, oh, well, He sinned against me. If He wants the problem to be solved, He needs to come to me. Is that loving your brother like God loved us? Through God, though God did no wrong, He instituted reconciliation. And those He brought reconciliation into the matter so that we can be at peace. We are able to resolve the situation. Remember one thing. Sometimes, brethren, we may alienate it. simply because no one seeks a solution. But there is a solution. Has someone ever wronged you? Of course. A parent, a child, a friend, a brother, husband and wife? Of course. Do you love them and desire them to be reconciled like God has loved us? Yes, that is our goal. When we do something wrong to somebody, the first thing that we have to do or want to do is to have a desire to go to them and make peace with them because we love them. There's no greater strife than there is when a man and a woman, a husband and wife, cannot get along. There are spouses when, for example, if I get upset with my wife about something, you know the first thing I do 5 minutes later? The first thing I do a second later is I apologize because I know I'm in the wrong. And sometimes she'll do the same thing. One thing we never do is go to bed angry because that's what the Bible says. The Bible tells us to never go to sleep in anger. Even if that person refuses to talk to us, we still can pray for that situation to be resolved. We must pray. We must be willing to sacrifice to achieve it. Even though we may not be in the wrong, we still can apologize for what occurred. Remember, there is a plan. God has already provided the plan. We need to learn and follow this plan. Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, do what? Forgive him. Is that so hard to understand? No, it's not. It's not hard to do. And let me tell you something. When our brother repents and is forgiven, even though he may never even apologize to you directly, once he is forgiven, that matter of whatever he did to me or to you must drop. It must never be brought up again because he has come forward or they have come forward and they have repented of what they had done. We can no longer say, oh, remember when such and such did that? No. That is never to be out of our, that is to never come out of our hearts or mouth ever again. Because just as God has forget our sins, we must strive to forget what they have done also. We must pray with them and for them. If not, as we know, God will hold us accountable. God commands it, just like he commands baptism, the Lord's Supper, moral purity, etc. We must believe in obeying God's every command. We must also communicate. The key word of this lesson is communication, as we talked about earlier. In order for reconciliation to take place, communication has to be involved. The one who believes he has been wronged, as we said, needs to be forgiven. If someone has wronged us, we need to let them know this so that they can come to repentance. We have to let our brother know that they have done wrong. But as we said before, once they recognize what they have done and follow God's plan, they will be forgiven. There is more that we could discuss in this matter, but I think we've gone far enough. So as we leave here, let us remember that sin does separate us from God, but he has developed a plan for us to come back unto him. And let's remember the second part of this plan, that God has made a plan to restore us with each other. God wants us to be at peace. He wants us to love one another. So if we have a, if we know somebody who has an issue with us for something we have done, let's reach out to them. If they don't want to talk about it, all we can do is just respect that. But we need to make sure that we pray and continue to pray about it. We need to make sure our conscience is cleared. We need to pray and love for one another and be reconciled unto God. Because God will hold us accountable if we continue to hold a grudge. We can't do it. We can't be angry. And let me tell you something, one thing before we close. The issues of this world will and continue to drive us apart if we let it. We cannot let this world drive us apart. We must come together and put God first and each other. If you are subject to the Lord's invitation, please come while we stand, while we sing.